Y'all having a good new year yet? We're just a few days into it, but I'm pretty excited about it, except I'm headed to Indianapolis in the middle of the week, and it's cold up there, but we'll just pray for a heat wave or something, I don't know, but no heat wave, just over there, not here, just over there. We're going to dismiss the kids for Children's Church and love our kids and all the great workers that help them every Sunday and work so hard during the week to get ready for them. So I'm excited about the Gideons coming next Sunday. So yeah, if you can bring a great offering for them. The Gideons are a group of people, if you don't know, that they purchase Bibles and distribute them around the world. Millions and millions of Bibles around the world. You see them in your motel rooms, in your hospital rooms, and used to be in schools, but we don't see them there too much anymore. But we just see them all over, and the Gideons are such an amazing group of people. So the Word of God's amazing, and it's powerful, and we want to get it out to anybody and everybody that wants one. Around here in America, I've got a dozen Bibles, you know, and I use my digital Bibles a whole bunch now. But there are places that they don't have any, and they want them desperately, so we help fund that. So bring a great offering for them next week. Hey, the Life Center, we do Bible reading every day. If you haven't heard, anybody heard about that? We do Bible reading every day, and it's the book of Proverbs this month. Our bookmarks will be showing up pretty quick, but whatever day of the year it is, what's this, like, or the month, today's like January 5th, so today's Proverbs chapter 5. And you can go on our website and look at some of that. Also, on our Facebook page, I post every day just some comments about the chapter. So you're welcome to go there and check it out. Read with us. The Word of God's so cool. You will love it. And on Facebook, we just try to bring a practical few words about that chapter and what God might be saying to us. So we encourage you to check that out. You can comment and like it and invite your friends and all of that. Also this year, we're doing some fasting, 21 days, the first 21 days of the year, we start fasting around here, and it's kind of funny, we're having a potluck next week. So, but see, we don't all fast everything, so if you bring something to the potluck, there'll be somebody that's not fasting that food, and they'll eat it for you, so that's the cool thing. But some of us are fasting sweets and sugars or coffee or pop or liver and onions. I'm fasting liver and onions. Yeah. Some of us fast like two meals a day and only eat one. Some of us are liquids only for 21 days. And just what we say, if it matters to you, it matters to God. Some people fast Facebook and some people fast Bible reading. No, you really should be fasting that, you know. Don't be fasting prayer and Bible reading. Don't be doing that. I'm fasting going to church. Don't be doing that either. But fasting is a cool thing that God, he invites us into. He actually commands it into our life. And it's a time when we just say no to our flesh and yes to our spirit. It's a time when we recalibrate ourselves a little bit. We put God first. We say, God, what are you saying for 2014? What do you want to do in my life this year? What new breakthroughs do you want for me? What new healings do you want to bring into my life? We're just asking God for things for our church. We're asking God for things for our community and our world. And so we do that. I wanted to read some verses for you. In Isaiah 58, these probably won't be on your screen because I didn't tell them I was going to do this. But it explains what fasting is really supposed to accomplish. It says, "Is this not the fast I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke." So God says, this fasting that I want you to do is supposed to powerfully affect things in your life and in your world, breaking the bonds of wickedness, undoing heavy burdens, letting the oppressed go free, breaking the yokes of heaviness and bondage off of people's lives. Sometimes that's you. Sometimes that's your family members. You'd be fasting for your wife. Lord, break that yoke off of her, or whatever. You know, you'd be fasting for your children. Usually, though, God's doing the biggest work inside of you. But we fast for other people. John's teaching about how to pray for people in Sunday school, and so we can see them saved. And the Bible's full of some great strategies and teachings about that. Some next verses says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and hide not yourself from your own flesh? And God says, oh, I want you to be loving each other better and caring for each other better, and I want you to be more aware of people's needs around you and quit turning a blind eye or quit turning a hard heart towards the needs of people around you. And fasting recalibrates you a little bit for that. And here's some results. It says, your light will break forth like the morning. When you start fasting and praying and seeking God and getting those answers, all of a sudden, light shines into the darkness of your life, and great things begin to happen for you and those around you. It says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. You probably don't know it, but you need healed today. You have emotional wounds. You have just some spiritual scars, probably. You probably have some physical things going on in your life, and you need some healing today. It wouldn't be awesome if healing broke forth speedily. That would be so awesome. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall protect you and be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. That's cool. You get answers to your prayers when you're fasting. Because when you fast, you start praying better prayers. You start hearing God better. You start praying the prayers God wants you to pray. And he's just looking for somebody to pray those prayers and engage that issue. And when you do that, you start seeing those answers. It says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, if you'll quit oppressing people, if you will quit being a heaviness for others, if you will take away the pointing of the finger, no, you don't ever do that, do you? Yeah, that Kelly Lineberry, you don't ever do that stuff, do you? If you'll take away the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, it's just you need to get out of yourself and your needs and start meeting other people's needs. And fasting helps us do that. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. That sounds pretty cool. The Lord will guide you continually. Look at that result. I would like the Lord to guide me continually. He will satisfy your soul in drought. Yeah, there's going to be times of drought, but the Lord can satisfy you and take care of you in those dry times. He will strengthen your bones. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So that's why we fast. And so we encourage you, maybe you haven't jumped in with us yet. Hey, it's only day five. So jump in and participate and ask the Lord what he would like you to fast. Ask the Lord. We have some resources back there at the Information Center, like two pages double-sided of information about fasting. So if you're interested and need more information, that's back there for you. You can grab that. But ask the Lord, God, what do you want to do in my life in 2014? Lord, what's my word for 2014? Larry talked about that when we were visiting last night, and God would give him a word. This is your word for this year. You know, what a victory for this year. This is your word for this year. And what's your word that God wants to give you to focus on and anchor you in? So fasting is an awesome thing, and we encourage you to help us and participate. And let's be a better church. Let's be better people. Let's seek God with all of our heart and let him choose for us what he wants us to do. And we'll follow that and we'll obey that. A couple other announcements that I have for you today is, we did a life group called Brilliant Thinking, and what an amazing, amazing set of lessons. Those DVDs are back there at the Information Center, and they're available for you to check out one at a time and bring back, so we'd encourage you to do that. Just some things that are just so practical and so deep at the same time, so usable and so encouraging. So I would encourage you to check those out. There's like 5-6 DVDs. And they're not necessarily sequential, so you could check out number 6 before 1 if 1's already gone or something like that. So that's available to you. How many of you heard that we're building phase two of this building this year? You guys heard that rumor? It's not a rumor. It's true. So the Y Project is in your bulletin, and there's in your folder there. There's just some information there. We're looking at raising $100,000 right away in the next few months, and we're going to build a whole wing of classrooms over here. The Y is our children's area is jam-packed full. Our offices are where you step on each other, and we have to scooch through things and go back there. You know, we have to scooch through stuff, and it is cramped around here. And we knew it would be, and we planned for that. So building phase two is out here. So if you got $100,000 laying around, you can just slip it in the offering today. But $100 will help. $50 will help. Big donors, little donors, we don't care. We love you all, and we know that God's going to help us do that. You'll be hearing more about that. We have some great video coming up in the next few weeks, some great testimonies about what this church does and how it helps people, and that's part of the why. So wouldn't you like to see a few hundred more people helped? Wouldn't you like to see 100 or two more kids here just being taught about God and just encouraged and loved on, and they take junk food home with them, you know, and we feed them sugar and stuff like that? Wouldn't you like that? I would like that too. Amen. So let's jump into our series, a brand new series starting today. It's called Limitless. And maybe that's the word for us this year. I'm thinking personally it's maturing, growing. I feel like God's wanting to take us to a whole nother level, but maybe that's where limitless fits in. Maybe we feel like we're tapped out, we're limited out. Maybe we feel like this is as good as it gets, this is as far as it goes. Let's just build three tabernacles and we'll stay here till we die. But hopefully that's not how you feel, because God wants you to know he has some things for you beyond what you're experiencing today. And we're going to talk about how do we get there and what's that going to look like. So the cross is the source. We're talking about the source. We have a cross over here on the wall. Maybe somebody could flip that light on. Larry, would you flip that light on right there, that switch for me? We got to light up the cross, I'm telling you. If we're going to talk about it, there it is. We got to light up the cross a little bit. So what is the source of limitlessness? We know that I'm not and you're not, because I'm limited and you're limited. But there is a source in our life that can take the lid off, that can help us get beyond what we think are our limits, and can help us go farther than we thought we could go, and get healthier and healed and stronger than we ever thought we could get. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's not the cross itself, but it's what Jesus did by going to the cross and resurrecting. And we'll be talking about that for the next few weeks. But the cross is a sign that all negative limits have been removed. I mean, there's nothing more negative than a cross. Today, we look at the cross, you know, guys that sing rap music wear them around their neck with chains, you know, and it's just this symbol thing, you know, but the cross back in Jesus' day wasn't jewelry. It was an instrument of torture. It was an instrument of intimidation. It was an instrument of limit. Once you hung there, you were done. You were history. You were toast once you were put on the cross. And they thought, if we can just get Jesus on the cross, we'll be rid of him. We'll be rid of his teachings. We'll be rid of his radicalness if we could just do that. But because of the cross, you and I can know that our negative limits in life are removed. If Jesus can overcome the cross, then he says he gives us his power to overcome things in our life. That's the sign that you can overcome anything. You can get past anything because of this cross. So the cross was meant to be that limiting instrument of torture, but because of what Jesus did, he conquered it with his resurrection. He proved that Satan and the world could take their best shot, but we will no longer be limited by his attacks or his intimidation. How many of you feel like Satan's taking a shot at you, his best shot? Man, I feel like I've had some shots at me during my life, but I'm still here, praise the Lord. I'm not here because I'm smart. I'm not here because I'm handsome. You guys already know that. I'm not here because of anything like that. I'm simply here because Jesus got me through those terrible times of my life, and I'm okay today, and I'm healthier today, and I'm better today. And so I thought about breaking out Pat Benatar, you know, hit me with your best shot, fire away. Yeah, I'm not a recording artist either. I should have brought Pat, huh? I should have poked you. Yeah. But the cross says Satan can take his best shot at you, but you can still overcome that. Some of the young folks are going, Pat, who? YouTube it. You can check it out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, this is in the New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I know a lot of people that say when they suffer difficult things, God must not love me, God must be punishing me, etc., etc. That's just not true. We all suffer. We all go through stuff. And it doesn't mean God doesn't love you at all. Look at this verse. Does it mean that he no longer loves us? Then there's a parenthetical phrase there. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. Do you know that the enemy attacks you and I just because he hates God? And we're made in his image and likeness. And Jesus came to save us, and God loves us, so Satan hates. It's just, do you know that a lot of the things that you suffer in life, it's not because you're bad or God doesn't love you or you did something wrong. It's just a part of being a human being on planet Earth right now. That's just what it is. And if you can see that and know that, you'll quit questioning the love of God. You'll quit questioning whether you've done something good or bad. You'll quit questioning all of that. And you'll just say, God, you brought me to this to get me through this, and I'm going to hang on to you. And I know that my life is limitless because of the cross. This thing will not limit me. This thing will not identify me. This thing will not tell me who I am and what I am capable of or incapable of. I am your son, your daughter, and I can do anything and everything you want me to do. This event will not limit me. And the cross says that because they thought they were limiting Jesus when they hung him there, but he was not limited. He definitely overcame that. Look at verse 37. No. No, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you when bad things are happening. It says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. So in spite of the problems, the troubles, the struggles, the divorces, the sicknesses, in spite of people not loving you, people saying bad, in spite of people firing you, in spite of people lying about you, in spite of people tricking you into making bad decisions, in spite of you going down the wrong road for a while, in spite of all of that, we have overwhelming victory through Christ who loves us. And that doesn't that sound limitless to you? Overwhelming victory. That sounds limitless to me. Victory means there's a battle. Victory means there's an enemy. Victory means there's an opposition. But I have overwhelming victory because God loves me, because Jesus paid that price for me on the cross, because he resurrected and he conquered, and I can also. Let's look at the next verses here. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life or angels or demons or our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Any of you fear and worry? Yeah, the crowd goes silent. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Yeah, we have enemies and we have battles, but that will not separate you. That will not limit you. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the love of God? Look at that cross. That's the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but could have everlasting life. That's the love of God. Why did Jesus come? Because sin is threatening us. Sin is an enemy of ours, and Satan is an enemy of ours, and we're going down if we don't get rescued, if we don't get a Savior. But God loves us, and he sent his Son to save us and to rescue us. Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross because of the sin of the world. And there is sin out there. Anybody notice? You guys notice that? There's probably sin in here. Don't look around. Don't point at anybody. There's sin in our world. I was going to talk about sin just a little bit. Sin isn't what you say it is, and it isn't what I say it is. It's what God says it is. And cultures throughout time have adjusted their values on what's right and wrong and what's good and evil and what's sin and what's righteous. But God's word is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know what truth is, you just dig into the book and find out what God says. So be careful what this world says is okay. Be careful what society says is okay. Find out what God says. Jesus died on that cross, not that one particularly, but a cross because of sin. Do not invite that into your life. Do not participate in sin willingly in your life because it's destructive. But Jesus gave us victory over that. You don't have to be bound by it. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about that. So the single source of our potential for a limitless life is Jesus Christ. And the symbol of that is the cross, right? I love an empty cross. Sometimes you see crosses with Jesus hanging on it. I like the empty cross because he's not there. And that's not the end. Him hanging there, oops, Jesus died, bummer. That's not the end. Jesus died, but 3 days later, he conquered death and everything else. If he can conquer death, he can conquer anything and everything. And that's so cool. Whatever you're dealing with, there's power in Jesus Christ to overcome that. Your life is limitless because of Jesus. So the cross today is a symbol of victory, a symbol of love, a symbol of sacrifice, a symbol of overcoming the worst and coming out on top. I love that. I love movies where they overcome and they get the victory. I love Rocky. I like Stallone out there. You know, it looks like he can't do it. He won't do it, you know, but he does it. I love that. He beats the Russian up. You know, that's one of my favorite ones there. You know, I just love those shows to where it looks like against overwhelming odds, you're toast, you're over, you're done, stick a fork in you, you know, but somehow, some way, you overcome and you get victory. I love that. And the cross is that symbol. Satan can throw his best, but you come out on top anyway. And I hope you know that. Some of you are going through stuff today, but you can come out on top anyway. Not on your own. You're not pretty enough. If I'm not handsome enough, you're not pretty enough. I'm just saying. It's not because you're smart enough. You are not going to have enough money to do it. It's only because of Jesus that you can have this limitless life. You can come out on top. Amen. So some of us are experiencing the pain of our current limitations, and what I'm saying sounds trite. It sounds cliche-ish. Yeah, 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 whatever. More of the same, whatever, whatever. All that Christian mumbo-jumbo. No, it's really truth. Well, how come it doesn't work for me? I've talked to lots of people. How come it doesn't work for me? How come I have all the problems? How come I'm singing the gloom, despair, and agony on me song? How come I'm the one that's always suffered? Everybody else has it so easy, and I have it so hard. I don't know, I felt that way a few times myself. Anybody else ever felt that way? I felt that way. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know, I felt that way sometimes. But the thing is that what I've said here is truth. We just have to learn how to apply it to our life and make it work. And I was thinking about what would be a good example of that. How many of you know that healthy eating and exercise will make you feel better? Three of you. Thank you. I know you don't want to raise your hand. But I mean, there's a rumor out there that if you eat well and if you exercise, you're going to feel better. But you have to learn to apply that to your life and make it work. I'm fasting right now. I'm hungry. The worst thing about fasting is I get hungry. I hate that. If it wasn't for hunger, I would fast all the time. And it's the same thing with eating right, isn't it? It's like eating right is supposed to make me feel better. That donut's going to make me feel better. That extra helping of potatoes and gravy, that's going to make me feel better. Bring on the cheesecake. That's going to make... You say putting that away is going to make me feel better. I don't believe it. And exercise? That hurts. You say that's going to make... That hurts. When you start exercising and you haven't been exercising, it hurts. There's muscles you didn't know you had. Your joints are all, oh, man, you just can't crawl out of bed. You're back. You got to go see the chiropractor. All that stuff's going on. But you're telling me that eating right and exercising will make me feel better. I know. It's like telling you that accepting Jesus into your life will make your life better. It feels worse at first. But you got to learn how to apply it. It's like me telling you the cross and you getting victory over some things in your life, that some things that are killing you, some things that are limiting you, some things that are hurting you. I'm telling you that the cross and Jesus will make your life better. And you're going, eh, I tried that once. I gave up a donut for 5 minutes. It didn't work. And sometimes we feel that way about Jesus and Christianity. But you have to learn how to apply it to your life. That's why you get in and you read the Bible and you come and learn and you worship and sing and all that stuff. And pretty quick you're learning like, oh, this exercise thing's working. And I'm feeling better now, you know. And I used to do one sit-up a day, half a sit-up when I got up and the other half when I went back to bed. But I try to do more than that now, you know. And I'm feeling better already. I'm feeling better. So you have to learn how to apply it and make it work in your life. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. I'll read it off the screen up there. Maybe. Is it up there? Is it coming? Maybe I have to grab it. Tell me if it shows up. My person that usually does that has been sick this week, so it might not be up there. Acts 2:23. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, Jesus was delivered up. This Amplified Bible goes boom, 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 right? So Jesus was delivered up according to this definite, fixed, settled, and foreknowledge plan of God. Him you crucified and you put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. So they thought they would put Jesus out of the way and crucify him on the cross. But it was not possible for the cross to contain him. It was not possible for the tomb to hold him, because 3 days later, he came rocketing out of that thing. And you know what? It's the same thing. The enemy plans to take you out of the way. The enemy plans to marginalize you. He plans to push you off to the side. Let's wound them. Let's hurt them. Let's accuse them. Let's destroy their self-image. Let's attack them. Let's tell them God doesn't love them. Let's tell them they're no good. They're a dirty dog. Let's tell them whatever, whatever. And we're going to marginalize them off to the side. And then we don't have to worry about them ever fulfilling their destiny in God. We're just going to limit them, limit them, limit them, hold them down. But because of the cross, it is not possible for those things to contain you. It's not possible for those things to hold you, just like they couldn't hold Jesus, and he came resurrecting out of that horrible, traumatic crucifixion. What you and I have endured is not as bad as a crucifixion, is it? We've not been put in the tomb and been there 3 days yet, have we? Some of you don't look too good, but you don't look that bad. Hallelujah. We haven't been through anything that bad, although some of us have been through some really bad stuff. But if that couldn't contain Jesus, and then Jesus says, I'm giving you this same power, I'm giving you this same liberty, I'm giving you this same freedom, nothing can separate you from my love and from my power. Amen. So it was not possible for him to be controlled or retained by it. What's controlling you? What's threatening to retain you or contain you or hold you down? It's time to break free from that stuff. It's time to break free from that stuff. The power of death and evil was not able to hold and control Jesus, nor can it hold us because of the cross and its effects in our life. So when we see the cross, we don't just see a chunk of wood, and we don't just think about Jesus hanging there. We think about the effect of resurrection and Jesus saying, now you're all free. Here's the good news. I set you free. You're free. You're victorious. You're overcomers. Go, be free. That's the good news of the cross. That's the effects of the cross. Isn't it time to break free from some of the limitations that have hindered and haunted you? Isn't it time? Some of you have lived with this for 50 years. Some of you have lived with limitations for 10 years. Some of you grew up with limitations just in your household, and it was just that way. Some of you feel limited because of your ethnicity. Some of you feel limited because of your gender. Some of you feel limited because you're blonde. Some of you feel limited because you're gray-headed. Some of you feel limited because whatever, whatever, but you just feel all these limitations on you. And Jesus is saying, be free. Isn't it time to break free from that? Isn't it time to get beyond some of that? There's things that have haunted you and hindered you, and it's time to get free from that. We're talking about limitless. Oh, that's cool. That's a nice idea, Pastor. You keep preaching about this, and we'll see you in February, you know. There's some people that are so intimidated by this kind of talk. It's like, I'm so oppressed, I'm so beat down, my self-esteem is so tiny that I can't even hope that life could get better. I can't even hope that it would be different. But I want you to know today it's more than hope, it's a reality. It's a reality. Your life can be better and it can be different. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, this is in the Message Bible. It's up there. Woohoo! I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed on a cross, the one God raised from the dead, by means of his name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. You thought you were killing Jesus. You thought you were killing his influence. You thought you were killing his power. But you know what? Here's a lame man that had been by this gate begging for decades. He had such limitations on his life because of his health issues. And this man was set free. And they're saying, how did that happen? It's because of this Jesus who you crucified. See that cross there? That cross is a symbol of victory, of overcoming, of power. That cross is empty. That cross is empty. Limitless. God's power is limitless. Say, why? A lot of times in the middle of the process, we're all messed up. We're like, I thought you were God. How come Jesus is suffering? I thought you were God. How come, even while he's hanging there, you saved others, save yourself. What's up with this, dude? And they were just railing on him. And there's times in the middle we're all confused. There are times in the middle that we don't get it. We don't understand. But see, what my advice to you is just hang on. Friday's coming, you know. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming, right? That was one of the phrases. Friday may be here. You may be in the bad time, but Sunday's coming. The resurrection's coming. The good days are coming. And that's available for you. And I hope you can see that. I hope you can know that today. I just love, this is just an amazing verse where the power of this crucified Jesus set this man free. I'm going to be totally frank with you. I've got nothing to hide. The power of this crucified Jesus set this man free. You thought you limited him, but you know what? He just multiplied into 12 apostles, and then he just multiplied into 20,014, you and I, and all the other Christians on the planet. Look, Satan's going, wow, did I ever make a mistake? Because the power of Jesus is in us today. And that's amazing. That is so cool and so amazing. Here's the last thing I want you to think about on that verse. The power of Jesus set him free, but it was also the power of the cross in Peter and John's life that allowed them to speak to the man and lift him up in the name of Jesus and watch him get set free. So God wants the power of the cross, the source, that's what today's title is, the source. He wants the source to be in you so that you can touch other people's lives and remove the limits off of their life. So God wants you living an unlimited life, but then he wants that power residing in you and that care and compassion inside of you so you'll touch other people's life and help lift the limits off of them. That's why we say making life better around here. That's what God wants to do. That's what Christianity and church is really about. And it's not a shallow statement. It's a very deep statement. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, life gets better. Life gets better. If you're just going to poke at Christianity, life is not going to get better. You just poke at it a little bit, you know, come when you feel guilty and come on a holiday and just kind of think about God when you have a real problem, you know. If you're just going to do that with Christianity, it will not make your life better. But if you'll sell out, if you'll exercise and eat healthy food, life will get better. I know it doesn't seem like it at first, but it will. It will really get better for you. Amen. So God has a source to make you healthy and whole. That was the last two verses. By faith in this name, this man stands before you healthy and whole. I like that word, whole, complete, lacking nothing. There's no limitations. He's whole. He's well. He's whole. And I look at my life and I go, God, I'm not whole. I got some areas in my life that are hurting me, that are hindering me. And I need the work of the cross to remove that limitation, because I want to be whole. Don't you want to be whole? Just make me good enough so I can exist another 10 years. No, I want to be whole. I want to be, could you? A lot of times people come to church and they get just enough of Jesus to take the edge off of their pain, and then they fade away again. Then they come back and take the edge off and they fade away again. Don't you want to be whole? You see, if I thought I could be whole, I would fully engage. Well, I'm telling you, you can be whole. And you should fully engage. You really should. It's the power of the cross, the power of overcoming the worst Satan can throw at you, the power of taking what was meant for evil and turning it around for good. It's the power of the resurrection that makes you healthy and whole. But here's a problem with that. In order to get resurrection power, there has to be what? A death. That's a bummer, huh? It's like, can we just have this resurrection thing without the death? Well, it doesn't quite work that way. Could we just get this without the cross, without the instrument of death? Could we get it? No. So that's the bummer. And the bummer is that you and I suffer, and you and I have pain, and we even need liberated. We even need limitation lifted off of us. I think that's a bummer too. I wish we all just were born happy and healthy and grew up happy and healthy and everything was supportive and wonderful and we never had pain and we never had a problem. But see, we're going to get that someday. That's called heaven. We're going to get that someday. But until then, we have to rely on this resurrection of the cross, the resurrection and the work of Jesus Christ. We get to rely on that. Lazarus in John chapter 11. Anybody remember? Have you read the story of Lazarus? He got sick and he died. Sounds like somebody's sick up there. No. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Mary and Martha were Jesus' friends. He'd been in their house. When Lazarus got sick and died, his sister suffered. When I was thinking about that, I thought, when you and I are sick, the people around us suffer. True? When Kari's sick, I suffer. I know, maybe that sounds really selfish, but when she's sick, I suffer. When she's sick, I'm not going to go into details because you'll think I'm an egotistical whatever, but I just feel bad for her and I suffer when she's sick. That's where I'm going to leave it, right there. I'm leaving it right there. When she's sick, I suffer. When you're sick, people around you suffer. I would love for us all to get well so we quit making people around us suffer. Wouldn't it be nice if your attitude was healthy and well? If the pain in your life didn't create some of the other stuff that you do and say? Wouldn't it be nice if the trauma that you'd experienced was all healed and it was no longer an issue and you were just back at square one, happy and healthy and whole? Wouldn't that be awesome? And we just quit hurting each other. I'd love that. When you're sick, you hurt other people, and other people suffer. Lazarus died. You could read the story. Jesus kind of delayed and said it's for the glory of God. And one of the things we've been talking about the last couple of months is when God gets you over that hump, when he gets you through your trauma, he gets a lot of glory. Because people look at Kelly Lineberry, there ain't no way he could be a pastor. There ain't no way he could be doing that. And then God gets all the glory. And when God gets you over your humps, people look at you and say, Ed, there ain't no way he could be a coach. You ever read his story, Sink or Swim? You ought to read Ed's story in Sink or Swim if you haven't read that. There ain't no way he could ever do that. He had a believer, though it was his wife, right? And, of course, God was a believer. But people, it's so amazing when you overcome, the rest of the world goes, wow, maybe I can too. And isn't God awesome? So we need to keep overcoming so we can be a great testimony to the world. We need to keep doing that. But Lazarus was sick, and Jesus said it's for the glory of God. When he showed up, Mary and Martha, they both said to him, Master, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. Man, how many times do we hear stuff like that still today? If God's God, why do babies suffer? Why are there wars? Why do little puppies? Whatever. Well, I mean, we have all these statements of if there's a God, why is there suffering? Simple. We have a devil and he hates us. Our world is corrupted with sin. But God's going to correct all of that. So I get it. I get those questions. And Mary and Martha said, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they were just accusing him of not caring. They were accusing him of not being engaged. They were accusing him of not being involved. You know what Jesus did? He wept. He cried. It's like, do you really think? And you and I, we're after the cross. I mean, if you're going to accuse God of not loving you, and you look at one of those things, wait a minute. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whatever else you think about God, you got to know that he loves you and he cares and he sent Jesus and he's got a plan to fix all this. And we all wish it was fixed today, but it's not. But just hang on. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So they accused him and he wept. And Jesus went to the tomb and he says, "Roll away the stone." And they're going, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. The dude's been dead 4 days. This stinks. Do not open this back up." And you and I are right at that place a lot of times in our life. God is saying, "Hey, Kelly, I'm going to roll away the stone." I'm saying, "God, I buried that a long time ago. Lord, I don't want to think about that. Lord, that event stinks. That event is something that I've tried to cover up. I've tried to bury it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to think about it." But Jesus says, "I want to speak resurrection into that thing. I want to get you over that. I want to get you through that. Roll away the stone." And finally, they rolled away the stone. And then Jesus just spoke into their life, and he spoke, "Lazarus, come forth." And that's the words he's speaking to you and I today. I know there's things in our life that are dead. I know there's things in our life that stink. I know that. And I know there's things you don't want to think about and you don't want to deal with. You'd like to just keep them buried and let's just try to exist. But God is saying, "Hey, would you roll away the stone in 2014? I know you don't want to, but would you do it anyway? And let me speak resurrection into that thing. Let me speak life into that thing that was once dead, that was once so damaging, that was once so painful. Let me speak into that. So the source of death has visited us, but the source of resurrection is calling to us today. Come forth to this limitless life that I have planned for you." Don't you like that? Man, I like that. I'm thinking of some things I've got buried and I've got hidden away, and the Lord wants to speak that. Let's pray together. Father, today we want to live a limitless life. God, I am tired of all of the oppression, the hindrance, the pain, the sorrow, the agony. God, I'm tired of thing after thing. And God, I want to be free. God, I want to be free. And I wish it was as simple as just saying a prayer. I wish it was as simple as that. But God, I know there's things I have to do. There's follow-through that I got to participate in. And Lord, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to roll away the stone. I'm willing to let you speak resurrection into my dead areas. I'm willing, God, I'm willing to come to you. I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to open up to you. And God, not just for me personally, but I'm tired of seeing people around me suffer because of my own issues and my own pain and problems. God, if you would heal me, if you would make me whole, then people around me could be more healed and more whole. And I would love that. And so I pray that for myself. I pray that for this congregation. I pray that for those listening on the internet and to the CD, Father. I pray that for us today. The source of the limitless life is Jesus Christ, and the symbol of that is the cross. And if you will overcome the cross with resurrection, you can and will overcome anything and everything else in our life and our world. And God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.